Hello.
Hey.
We're on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Point of Order, and the Mets need to.
Dream, baby, dream.
Dream, baby, dream.
A little higher in the headphones here.
A little higher in the headphones than the man wants.
I'll take that, too. Oh, good.
Yeah, you good?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like headphones.
Can't hear anything, can't feel anything.
That's it.
I don't really need Joe's voice, and I can hear it louder.
Well, this is Point of Order. I am Joe Sonnenblit.
I'm Jason Bogdan.
Steve McGrath here.
Linda Peralta.
And we're here on Radio Free Brooklyn celebrating the first week of August.
Woo!
The first week of August is a big week for Radio Free Brooklyn. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read a little copy for you because we're professionals here. Yes. We're trying to do some real things. So Monday through Thursday this week, August 1st through the 4th, we're going to be giving away some tickets to see Herbie Hancock, the master of the synth, the master of funk. It's going to be a lot of fun. Prospect Park, August 11th. And tune into Brooklyn Bandstand live Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. or Earhammer on Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. for your chance to win. So it's only one pair of tickets. And that's it. And you go see Herbie Hancock, because Herbie Hancock actually is fucking phenomenal. I've seen him live once. Great show.
I didn't know Herbie Hancock was still alive.
He's only like 68. He's young.
He's only 68.
Relatively, yeah.
He's, being around for 45 fucking years.
I have to say, Joe, that side of you that I just saw there, I'm a little turned. What the hell's going on?
Excuse me.
So is my phone. My phone's a little turned on too, everybody.
Yeah, the way Joe reads copy gets you going.
I tell you, I can read copy with the best of them, except for Raul, who is the best one we ever had. So, we're
going to
start with the Mets. We're going to do some Mets action
here.
We
really should be starting with the Yankees.
I know, we have to start with the Mets because we're a Mets-centric show and everybody knows what we're about. Okay, last night as I was closing up the shop, I get a text message from Dave and Oscar and Tony. We're all in the Mets like group chat. That's essentially what it is.
Group therapy.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody telling me the season is over. The season, we're done. Doesn't matter anymore. You lost the first three to the Rockies. It does not matter anymore. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not done until the word eliminated is next to the goddamn name of my team.
Because that's Joe, man.
He does not quit. I'm not quitting on my team. I'm not quitting on the Mets. Okay, when you're 66 and 96, I understand. Mm-hmm. I get it. Yep. We know what it is when Ike Davis is playing first and Luis Castillo's at short. We get you.
I mean, it sucks because we're 2.5 games back on the wild card on the last two teams that we've played.
I know.
And it's,
I know.
You know, we could easily
made up some ground.
Made up some ground and we didn't.
But that's the thing. I'm not looking for the division anymore.
Yeah, but even the wild card. Like I just said, we played these two teams that are ahead of us now.
Listen.
What is giving you hope in this moment? I just don't see.
I went to the World
you
Series.
You went to that game, right? The Familia Blues first save?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I gave up like right there. The whole atmosphere just sunk.
What? A guy was 52
52. It's
everybody,
unfair.
It's crazy.
It's just a microcosm of what is happening in the season.
I mean,
not Familia itself. He's definitely great.
I don't know if people just stopped watching baseball for 25 years or if they don't know what baseball is anymore, but this is what happens. You're good one year and you're bad one year. This is baseball. You know, it's a microcosm of life.
Well, and that's where, you know, I think we were talking about this, but when the
Steve is pulling, he's cleaning
hair.
Him like an orangutan.
I appreciate that.
Who's this? Whose hair is this?
You cad.
I've been found out on air.
So, I just pulled a long piece of hair off of his microphone.
This
his
only professionals here at Radio Free Brooklyn.
That's,
So, you know, so about that, you know, about Familia and the Mets. The problem is, we talked about the show. Everyone expected the Mets to be unbeatable, right? And now, you know, we're hitting a real rough patch. People are like, "Oh, this team sucks. Start trading everyone.
Sell everybody." What are you?
God,
lost?
We had one good season in the last God knows how long.
16 years.
Well, we did just sign Justin Ruggiano, right? Yeah. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
So after he missed that catch, I kept thinking people that called WFAN. They go, "Hey, first time, long time."
Yeah.
I kept thinking for Ruggiano, first game, last game.
Yeah, that's good.
To be fair, it was slippery out there.
It was.
Yeah.
But he did nothing with the bat.
Well, he's bad.
He had one hit.
Yeah, he's a bad baseball player.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, he's like...
Well, did they just not want Conforto to play? They're just finding any sort of excuse to just like not play him?
I'm going
to
tell you this right now. Michael Conforto sucks.
I don't think he sucks.
He sucks. No, he does. He's had 10 home runs and 30 RBIs for 2 months now. It's been the same 10 home runs and 30 RBIs. The guy's hitting 218. Mm-hmm. He's come back from AAA hitting 145. Mm-hmm. I mean, but maybe he's just good in the minors.
But I'm going to use the Logan Verrett argument here on you.
Oh, they make him do everything. Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Guy's playing center field one day, left field one day.
Water guy next to him.
Water guy in honor of Ronnie. Okay. What we say, he parks the cars.
He parks the cars.
You know, the kid needs consistent playing time. Consistent.
Luke Roy vetoed the trade with Cleveland.
Oh.
Well, breaking news into the Hitler bunker. Luke Roy vetoed the trade with Cleveland, everybody. So everybody who's hanging from your noose, your Mets noose right now, don't cut the string. Cut the cord.
But here's the thing.
You're not going to save us.
Would you? No. You know who might? Jay Bruce. I looked at Bruce's numbers.
They're insane.
I am no Bruce enthusiast.
I hate Jay Bruce.
You've been.
I hate Jay Bruce.
He's hitting 268.
272, 28.
That's a high on this team.
Yeah. 272, 28 home runs and like 68 RBIs.
Hello.
We need one of those.
I understand that. And now with Cespedes going down. Well, I mean, this is bad.
They're not saying he's down.
Oh, he's down. Yeah, he's down.
We've been around long enough to know what that is. So.
Harry's the kind of guy who looks at the Titanic sinking and goes, I think there may be some casualties, but we're going to wait and see.
Yeah, exactly. But see, now I want to tell everyone, we're the Nationals of last year. Everybody gave us
– right.
We could go back to the World Series. We could falter.
Nationals made a trade.
They got Mark Melancon.
Damn good trade for them.
That's a great
Melancon's
trade.
Melancon's very good.
I know. It's annoying to me.
Subpar ERA of 2, I think.
But you look at what the Mets have done, right? In terms of injuries, Juan Lagares, Lucas Duda, David Wright, Josh Edgen, Zach Wheeler, Matt Harvey. I mean, it's a whole team is injured.
But you know who still gets a check every Thursday or Friday morning in his bank account? Ray Ramirez.
Ray Ramirez. I thought you said Terry Collins.
Amazing.
Ray Ramirez is like Dr. Doug Ross on ER. You know, you go in there for a hangnail, you got AIDS. You just walk in there, you got AIDS. It's like something weird happens to you when you walk into the Mets team facility. But trades can happen. I think the Luke Roy trade, what I saw was they were offering Nimmo, Flores, and another prospect.
Oh, I saw Nimmo, Darno.
Nimmo, Darno, Flores.
It has to be a catcher, I'm guessing, right? Because they're getting rid of their starting catcher. I'm sure they want someone to replace him. Replace him with Darno. Who cares?
Who's there? Juan Centeno's a twin.
He's a twin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I mean, when you look
I think he's a Brewer. I think he's a Brewer.
I think he is Brewer,
Remember, he homered against the Mets.
For those of you Mets fans that have retractable memories and don't really understand, Juan Centeno was one of the worst catchers in Mets history.
He's not supposed to be good, though.
Well, like didn't we draft him in like the sixth?
We
drafted Juan Centeno.
No, I think we found him on the 7.
Day laborer. You might as well have
Roosevelt
found him on
69th Street.
Yeah, you might as well have found him on the 7. But what I want to see from the Mets, because I put this on Facebook, is Jay Bruce. Okay. I just don't want to take that money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And my father.
But I would get rid of Curtis.
No.
For Jay Bruce.
What do you think? Curtis for Jay Bruce? It's never going
to
happen.
Well, I mean, obviously, I would be willing to part with him.
No. Sure. I'm not willing to part with Curtis Granderson because he can still make plays in right field.
Can't?
Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
He's got no arm, but he can make plays.
He throws knuckleballs to the cutoff man.
He's got no arm, but he can make plays. He's still a good defensive right fielder.
Fine.
I mean, who's going to be out there? Kelly Johnson?
Yes, your boy. Savior of the Mets.
I said a bench player. What is everybody losing their minds here? Akil Morris for Kelly Johnson. You're not trying to light up the world with that
so
trade.
He was so excited when they got him.
I said he was going to lengthen the bench, and he did. It's still a lot more wood. Don't worry about it.
He lengthens the amount of bums sitting on the bench.
He does. I mean, it's like the 1930s. Our bench is like the 1930s, depression, handouts, breadline.
Cheer up, smile, nerds.
It's horrible. But Alejandro De Oz has got to go.
Oh, I mean, come on.
I mean, that, we knew that was a big mistake.
But he still keeps playing him. He still subs him in.
Terry Collins has got this thing for, like, bums. Because he was a bum himself.
Bums that
still
have been
remains.
In the league. Bums that have been in the league. He won't tolerate, like, new bums. But if you're an old bum, he'll keep trotting
you
out
there.
Well,
if you remember, like, he trotted John Mayberry Jr. out there for 2 years. Like, it didn't matter. You know why? I think he was indebted to his father because when he coached the Angels, John Mayberry was an Angel, and they were good friends. So I'm sure there was something there.
You think Terry's managing the major league team as a kickback?
Yeah, I think there's some sort of nepotism clause in his
some
in
sort
his
of
deal.
Shakedown. Mayberry shakedown.
Well, remember when the season really came crashing down? down last year before it didn't, when John Mayberry was batting cleanup.
Yeah, yeah. That game against the Padres.
Newenhuis
hit third.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta
remember that. Remember that series against the Padres?
Where that was the rain delay game.
Yeah, the rain delay game. They sent us back out.
Familia's last blown save.
Yeah, we lost in 14, I think it was, something there. Like that. Yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, you tried to get me to go. I said, I'm not going in the rain. But that moment was the lowest we've ever been that year, last year.
Mm-hmm. So
now this moment here is probably the lowest you are this year.
Right.
You're three games above 500 or four. You're faltering. You're falling apart. Your pitching staff is holding as much as they can. They can't do any more.
I mean, Matt's up five Matt's, yesterday, but yeah.
Bart's having a great year.
Rest, though,
Bart's
right?
having a great. We look at Bart's. Bart's a first ballot Hall of Famer. 220 and 158.
Is that for real?
That's for real. Look that up, Linda. Bartolo, are you even listening to the show? You're here. Bartolo Colon career stats, please.
Look up Bartolo Colon's meatloaf recipe while you're at it.
ERA under four, 3.95 ERA.
Yeah.
He's won 20 games or more four times in his career. Cy Young once.
Mm-hmm. Was that in Cleveland?
Yeah. No, the Angels.
Angels, right. Yeah. Angels.
Had a great year with the Angels. Had two bounce-back years with Oakland.
Yep.
I mean, a good year with the Yankees, didn't he? Didn't he have one solid year with the Yankees?
Yeah, he did. He was at the Yankees, and then he got suspended for PEDs.
Stem cell.
2011.
Stem cell cologne.
He never, ever lost under, never won under 10 games in his career.
Hmm. All right, let's see.
All right.
Best part of me getting to read the stats is I get to reach over Steve's lap.
Well, I mean, you can pull a hair out from there, too.
All right, so Bart is 227 and 160.
That's fucking amazing. Yeah.
ERA of 3.95.
Amazing.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a first ballot Hall of
Famer. How many strikeouts?
I mean,
he's not a strikeout pitcher.
Yeah, hold on.
He probably was initially, right?
No, not really.
Hell yeah. He was too hard.
Well, I think he only had 200 strikeouts.
2,300 strikeouts.
In 19 years? That's maybe 100 a year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't go in much for strikeouts.
115 a year. He's not a big... He pitched a lot of innings, though.
3,100 innings.
That's also, a lot of innings.
He's also got a home run under his belt.
That's true. But really, I mean, if you're looking for the closest thing to 300 wins now, he's it.
I think he has the most wins right now, actively.
Yeah. If he could play two more years and get it up to 240, he's first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
He's first ballot.
He's not first ballot yet. I agree.
Well, he's definitely going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for sure.
He's one of the best.
Funny? Opponents hit 264 off him.
Yeah.
That's not great.
No.
Right.
The guy's hittable.
But he gets out of innings.
Oh, sure.
And he
knows how to
pitch. And for how big he is, he's a great defensive pitcher.
Yeah, no.
He's a great defensive pitcher.
People say he's the most athletic person on the team. He can do a full split. No shit.
Yes. Yeah. And the guy is sitting in the dugout in 95-degree heat with a hoodie on and sunglasses. Like, I don't... How is this man who's 300 pounds, clearly not
he's
dying?
A heroin addict.
Yeah, clearly, how is he not dying in that? I walk out on the street, I'm a puddle.
Yeah.
God damn it. So...
All right, so Lucroy vetoes the trade. I'm just going to confirm that.
That's funny, though, because Cleveland...
Linda, where did you see that?
Oh, I saw it on Twitter.
Okay.
And at bat,
MLB at bat.
Bleacher Report is on it, so okay. this is true.
No, it's legit.
Oh, so Cleveland, who is a team that's gonna might come out of the AL.
He doesn't want to go to the AL.
Oh, he's a pussy.
Yeah.
Uh oh.
Well, I guess he wants to be a starting catcher. So
he's gonna be a starting catcher over there. Yan Gomes is better than him.
No, I don't think so. But they could DH him certain games. He might love Milwaukee, living in Milwaukee. You know, he can't go wrong. He cannot veto a trade.
I've heard a lot of things about him not wanting to move his family in the middle of the year.
Well,
who cares? What are you talking about?
Well, he can't veto a trade to the Mets. So
no, do not veto that.
He can't.
Why?
Because there is a list of
teams. No, there's a list of teams he can block a trade to, and the Indians were on that list. The Mets are not on that list.
Was that self-imposed? Oh. Like, how does that?
It was in his contract.
Probably a Brewers imposed thing.
So he can veto a trade to the Indians, but he cannot veto one to the New York Metropolitan.
Do you know who's in the Brewers organization as like a third assistant GM or whatever? Steve Phillips.
Oh.
So
Steve Phillips
could work on the inside as a Met. He loves the Mets.
Yeah, he does.
He's got some weird, and then he started fucking the interns, and they had some problems over there.
Yeah, the president fucking interns. So, well, so it's tell right. me about it.
I mean, you got to take the good with the bad.
You know
I guess.
Who Steve Phillips will forever be known for is the Mike Piazza deal.
Oh,
Phillips got that done.
Speaking of, great weekend. I watched his number get unveiled. I wasn't home for it. I watched his number get unveiled on YouTube. Boy,
yeah.
Whoever says that this man was juicing, that was he's gay, whatever, whatever. Let the man live his life. Because you never saw anything like that, and you're never going to see anything like that again. That man had the most violent, ferocious swing I've ever seen in my entire life. And the fact that he goes in with Griffey is so great, because they are the antithesis of each other in terms of player, in terms of swing. Griffey had that smooth, beautiful, like, it, you know, you could a gust of air would come after that swing. And Mike Piazza, your hat would fly off. That violent fucking... You had to whip your neck to watch his swing. It was so great. And I missed that swing. And the closest thing we have to that swing right now is Jonas Cespedes.
Well, it's the rock star versus like the classical musician, yeah. Him and Griffey.
Yeah.
You know, and Piazza loved that rock star life.
And he, and now he's a quiet man. He buys a third-tier Italian soccer team, Calcio, I think.
And third-tier suits, too.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You got to go to Joseph A. Bank sometime. Yeah. And if you go to Joseph A. Bank, you know, you get a little Botox in the face, too.
It's Joseph A. Bank does the old buy one, get 90 free special.
Did you see Mike Piazza's face? He's all Botoxed out.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
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 You think he's still injecting?
I think he's injecting butter into his face. I don't know what the fuck that's about. But
So my mom was there yesterday.
Oh, I know a lot of people.
Of all the big Piazza fans out there.
Yeah.
And she said he went around the whole stadium in the golf cart, you know, shaking hands and everything. And,
right.
She said he was really gracious because, you know, there's been rumors always through the years that Piazza was a prick.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
I was actually listening to, he was on ESPN, not to overdo your story, but he was on ESPN yesterday and Eddie Trunk, for some reason, was hosting with Don LaGreca. Yeah. And he's like, who's your top four metal bands? And he's like, Van Halen, Whitesnake, and Eddie Trunk's like, what the hell are you talking about? And he was talking about his story that he went to Madison Square Garden to watch Guns N' Roses, like 2001, 2002 era Guns N' Roses, and Axl Rose came out in like all jerseys for like New York teams, and he didn't have a Mets jersey, he didn't have a Piazza jersey, so he went over to confront him after the show. He's like, what the hell, man? He's like yelling at him, and he's like saying this over this. I was like, that's kind of prickish, right? Like, you don't have my jersey on? Like, fuck you, Axl Rose? And he's just like, you know, like, isn't that, that's kind
that's
of a
some
story.
Now you're back. Go back to you. Go back.
Thanks a lot. Just sort of an annotation.
If you've left us, thank you.
Jay tried to poke me.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thank you. This has been fun. I will now retire from radio. No, you know what? I don't think that's prickish. You're at Madison Square Garden. You know Piazza's going to be at your show. Piazza did a metal show every Sunday night on Q1043. How awesome is that? That no matter what was going on, he always
took
went
time.
To the studio in Manhattan.
But he couldn't even name four metal bands.
Who cares? Who cares?
I see what you're getting at. Anyway, my mom said that he was doing the thing in the golf cart, shaking hands, and she said there was this one little kid who was so happy to see him. Piazza like picked him up, gave him like a kiss, and hugged him. So either you can make him out to be a pedophile, or that's a really nice moment.
I think it's a really,
it's a really
nice
moment.
Moment,
I'm not
but make
I know the people
to be
in this room.
A nice prickish pedophile.
So
he's grown up though.
Like, I agree. I totally agree.
That's probably true too.
I didn't know this story. Gary told this story a couple days ago, but I think this was before the Mike Piazza weekend, where they were in either Cleveland or might have been Milwaukee. They were in Milwaukee, and this is when Piazza dyed his hair blonde.
Oh,
and he goes, and nobody had seen him because he came out, his big hulking guy. Nobody had seen the hair, and. When there was a foul ball popped back to the screen and Piazza took off his mask and caught the ball, the back crowd fell silent. Everybody gasped at first, and then the back crowd fell silent. And he pointed to his head and said, you're going to get beat by a blonde man. And it's so fucking cool. I mean, it's so fucking cool.
I think you're right, though. I think he did grow up a lot. I think he was an arrogant prick.
But he had to be.
Well,
you know what? When you're taking in the last round, 62nd round, and it's the Tom Brady syndrome. Tom Brady's an arrogant prick because everybody passed him over. And the only two people that Mike Piazza had believing in him, or three I should say, were Ted Williams, who's his hitting coach.
Yeah. Pretty good.
That's amazing.
He's pretty good.
Tommy Lasorda, who's his godfather, and his father. Those are the only three people that believed in this guy. And he carried that belief, and he's the greatest hitting catcher of all time. And he's the greatest. I don't care what anybody says about Yogi Berra. You didn't play against blacks. You didn't play against Spanish. Mike Piazza's the greatest catcher that ever lived. Yep. Maybe Johnny Bench. But Mike Piazza's the greatest catcher that ever lived.
So let's go with Piazza for a minute because we really didn't give him his due justice last week. We had Raul here at the end. We talked a little wrestling, too. Favorite Mike Piazza moment?
September 11th.
September 11th?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's take that one off the table because that's so easy.
Okay.
Right? And yeah, not that it's easy, but you
I couldn't
know.
Even say that one.
Yeah.
His last game, the one
last
we were
game.
At.
Oh, yeah.
Last game is a Met.
Yeah, that was you know how we got tickets to that game? Hey, I'll tell you a story. Yeah. So my mom goes to a game with her friend.
Bunch of arrogant pricks both here.
I haven't been humbled by life yet. Yeah. And they have a parking pass, and they tell them, sorry, the parking lot is full. You can't park here. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? We have a parking pass. No, no, no. They jerk them around. They end up paying for parking on the street or whatever on a different lot. So my mom, this is where I get it from, she calls the Mets, and she's pissed, and she complains. They said, okay, you know what? We'll give you 4 tickets to any game.
Yeah, if you don't know Jason Bogdan, he's gotten us seats and shakes and sodas and all types of weird things.
Pizza Hut? So they said, we'll give you 4 tickets. My mom gets us 4
Andrew Miller to the Indians.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
That happened already.
That was this
no,
morning.
It wasn't official until like...
Oh.
That's why I said we should start with the Yankees.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
point is, I thought you meant prospects. Clippard.
Point of order, Clippard. Excuse me. That's where the name of the show comes from. Point is, we get 4 free tickets. We go. It's the greatest day of our lives. So you got Piazza's last game. Your favorite Piazza moment?
Yeah, it's got to be the last game. I mean, it's the last. It's watching that 10 minute. It was had to be 10 minutes.
Yep.
That standing ovation never stopped. I mean, it was the very end of Shea.
Yeah.
And
a lot going on.
It was a lot going on, and we were bad. We're not a good team.
Well, and then who was the manager? Was it Art Howe, dare I say?
No.
Was it Willie Randolph?
No. Think what year? Was it 2004?
No.
2008? No? It was 4.
2008.
Linda, can you look that up? His last game as a Met?
It was 2004.
I think he retired in a...
Uh-oh. Here's Ronnie.
Go.
You're on the air.
Go.
Yeah, I got 2. Favorite Mike Piazza moments that I'd like to pass on to the radio public at large. The first one was when he was there was a play at home plate and it was in Atlanta, and the great Angel Hernandez was the home plate.
Oh God!
and Mike, you know, with his 400-pound frame. Block the plate, and you're not getting through Mike Piazza unless, you know, you're driving the fucking truck of some kind. Tagged him out, and he was clearly out, and Dick Face, you know, fucking just said, safe. He could have been 4 rows up in the stands ordering a fucking cheeseburger or a fucking, you know, getting an Atlanta Braves banner. Just called him safe. And Mike, I've never seen Mike Piazza really lose it. The only time I saw him lose it was when
Clemens.
Guillermo Mota, you know.
Oh, Guillermo Mota,
When he went looking for Mota in the dugout.
Awesome with him. Then he went into the dugout and straightened everything out. Anywho, so Angel Hernandez calls him safe. Mike Piazza just, he went insane. And he was, you know, and it was good because, you know what he was doing basically was calling Angel Hernandez out for being a horrible umpire. Because there's no way the guy was out. And he just threw his glove down and walked away. After the whole tirade, he took his helmet, smashed it on home plate, and walked away. Got thrown out of the game, the whole night. It was the winning run anyway. It didn't matter. Angel Hernandez had to throw him out of it. Typical nonsense.
Okay, your second
anyway,
moment.
Like
so
second
the first moment,
moment
is him getting into a fight.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you for the synopsis. Just like your bar idea, I like the story.
Very go ahead, go.
Anyway, number 2 was when Gary Sheffield was at the plate, and he took one of his, you know, violent swings and missed, and clunked Uncle Mikey right on the top
and
of his nose.
And he's bleeding.
And Mike, like, you know, wilted a little bit to the left, and then all you see is this gush of blood pouring out from his helmet. I want to tell you something about Mike Piazza, okay? There's never been a catcher in baseball that I've seen that
absorbed.
Has been abused, used.
Yeah, for sure.
Up and down, this guy could take him. You know, he couldn't throw anybody. Oh, give me a fucking break. He couldn't throw it. All right. Okay. This man could catch. He was a catcher. I mean, come on.
Thank you, Father.
Coming into his eyeball.
Much appreciated. Thank all you. Right?
That was a good snap.
Thank you so much.
Mark Piazza was a catcher.
Thank you. Okay, so I do agree with my father.
Yeah.
That man was a tough motherfucker.
Yeah.
He took them all. He took them all on. And he still gets flack for not beating up Roger Clemens. And
yeah,
Roger Clemens.
You can't do that, not in a playoff game.
And Roger, yeah. And that was Mike Piazza's thing. It was a playoff game. And also, Roger Clemens, who was so roided out at that time. Oh, I didn't throw the bat at him. What are you,
Piazza
nuts?
First, and let's put it in perspective here. Piazza would have eaten Clemens
yeah,
alive.
He would have taken his head and just pulled it off.
Yeah.
And just pulled off his head and thrown that into the outfield.
And then he would have sold that to a third-tier soccer team.
Exactly.
Willie Randolph was the manager.
Willie Randolph. Those are some lean years.
I got to go with the home run against the Braves, the 10-run inning.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was off of Terry Mulholland.
Very good.
If I'm not mistaken.
We were down 8-2. For those of you that don't remember, and they came back in the eighth inning, I believe it was, and they scored 10 runs. First time Mets ever scored 10 runs in an inning.
It was a great inning because they had the bases loaded. You had guys taking walks, scoring runs. Fonzie had a big single through the hole, and then Piazza comes up, and he said, it's one of the few times in my career I said, if I hit a home run here, this place is going to go nuts.
Yeah.
And it was a line drive down the line.
He socked that ball.
And, it was like Shea had that wall in left field where, like, he didn't have to clear necessarily.
Yeah, just had to hit the wall.
Hit the wall. And I just remember Mike running down to first. And, he did
the fist pump
in the air. Like, we won.
Yeah.
man, what a moment.
That was a great one. Steve, do you remember any Mike Piazza moments?
Well, he actually said in one of his interviews, they're like, what home run do you remember the most? And he actually said that the Atlanta game.
The 10-run.
As opposed, he's like, everybody tells me, the September 11th game. But, like, he's like, that one sort of just, like, was it for him. Like, if he had to, like, take that one off, that was it. But, I like the Roger Clemens moment. He's throwing the bat, and you just see the frustration.
You
it's a
see
playoff
Mike Piazza's
game.
Face like, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
It's a mix between, what the fuck, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah. And I'm going to kill you.
I can't move.
Yeah.
I do remember when he got beamed, when Clemens hit him in the head. I remember sitting in my parents'
bedroom
at the
time. I thought
he was dead. And I started to cry.
I thought he was dead.
He's not moving.
I thought he was dead.
I thought he was going to be paralyzed, which may be worse than being dead. I don't know.
I'm neither.
Yeah, well I've seen you in moments of paralysis.
Well, it's okay.
Edelweiss. I know we've spent a lot of time on him, but he sure is worth it.
Yeah, he's my hero. He's one of, like, the few heroes I have in my life.
We're watching the induction of the Hall of Fame, and he starts, like, to actually tear up. We're in a bar, and he just starts to tear up.
Oh, man, I was crying.
Yeah.
That's hard.
He got a lot of shit for his speech. I actually liked his speech a lot. He didn't like it.
He's a private guy.
Yeah,
he doesn't go into the detail you want. It's not like Tony Gwynn's speech before he died, which was like the most personal speech ever. Griffey's speech wasn't great either.
Yeah,
I didn't think Griffey's speech was that great. These are not orators. You know, what are you expecting, Hitler up there? What are you going to get?
It's the second Hitler mention on this show today.
I think I'm turning.
And the third Radio Free Brooklyn reference. Catching up.
I think Hitler's going to beat Radio Free Brooklyn and mention today. Wait a minute, there's 3 and 4 right there. They're tied, almost.
Definitely a true baseball player.
Baseball. Yeah. Baseball man. I want to go to the Hall of Fame just to touch his head.
And he always played, too. He played through injuries, and he got that bad rap because it was a spring training game. Mets and Yankees,
mm-hmm.
and they sold out. The Mets had sold out the game.
And he didn't play.
And he didn't play because he was hurt. And, the Mets kind of leaked some shit to the media on him that he didn't want to play, and it was a sold-out house. I think a lot of people never got over that with him. It's a spring training
game.
You know, it's funny to me that fans criticized maybe him being a prima donna. And I don't think there was anybody in the world, at least in baseball, who was less of a prima donna than Mike Piazza.
Sure.
The guy just went out there and did it. And every year, 300 every year.
Yeah.
I mean, every year that this man...
But 300 every year and catching like 140 games.
Yeah, and he only...
Catchers don't do that anymore.
No. He played, what, 14 years? 15 years? So think about that. 400 home runs... in 14 years, guys hit 30 home runs a year, essentially.
Yep.
I mean, that's incredible.
From a catcher.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wear and tear.
I mean, the only other catcher who was doing it at that time was Pudge. Really?
Yeah, and we know why.
Yeah.
Jeez. I loved Pudge, though.
Yeah, he was a great baseball player. All right, so we spent 30 minutes on the Mets, and we still have no answer.
Let's go. Here's the thing. I'm just going to say, I'd prefer Jay Bruce over Lucroy at this point for this team right now. For the future, I prefer Lucroy, but... I'm in the moment.
Well, he's got a good contract, Lucroy, for someone who...
11 million a year? Which I would...
Less.
Is it less?
Less, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
He's underpaid right now.
Yeah. He's got, like, two more years.
Which is the only thing I can think of that also might be, like, hindering him being traded is just, like, I want more money. If I'm going to get traded and I'm going to have to move, I want more money.
So... Okay, I understand. And I'm hearing Joey Votto's name come up. Please don't give me him.
No, his contract's too long.
I don't want him... And did you see the Matt Kemp trade yesterday?
Yeah, interesting.
That was a bloated contract trade, though. And the Padres DFA'd Hector Olivera right after.
Well, he's suspended for domestic violence.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's not even playing.
I thought it was just the contract.
No, he's not playing.
All right.
So unless his suspension's over, but he's been suspended.
Boy, if his suspension's over, I'd like to take a look at Hector Olivera, because apparently we have no problem signing people who beat people. So just sign them all if you're going to do that.
He's on the DL now anyway. Let's go crosstown, though, because you got to Hansi. I've said this about Brian Cashman for a long time. I actually think he's a great GM.
He is a great GM.
He just never gets the ability to do his job.
And that's the thing, and I feel like he's finally... This looks like Cashman work.
Yeah.
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 This is a great deal.
Well, you were getting down on Steinbrenner, though. You were saying...
Hal's an idiot, because Hal wasn't letting Brian do anything.
Well,
Until the future, the prospects that they get now, they're going to flip in 2 years from now to get contenders.
I think they're going to flip two or three of those prospects to get Sale by tomorrow. I think they are.
I don't think
What's today, anyway?
The 31st?
Today's the 31st?
Yeah. So the trade deadline's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, it's August 1st, 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. But yeah, I think they're going to try and go for Sale. I really believe that. They need a frontline ace. You have no starting pitching at all. Masahiro Tanaka is a crumb.
I just don't get how you keep calling this guy a crumb.
Look at it. Look at the numbers this year. Hey.
Can you look Tanaka. Tanaka's numbers?
What are you doing?
I zone you out sometimes.
Okay.
Don't we all?
After Tanaka, CeCe sucks.
He's having a good year.
Okay.
He is having a good year.
Great. Look at his last five starts. CeCe sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan Nova's trash.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Pineda's trash.
Trash.
Nathan Eovaldi is trash.
Garbage.
I was hoping you'd
Severino, they're going to give up on. They're going to give up on him.
Pick him up.
Bring him.
Yeah.
Bring him.
Yeah.
If you don't see that kid's got it, you're lost.
You know what? They just may not be the organization for him.
Yeah.
So.
It's possible.
Yep.
And, you know, their untouchables are Judge and Bird, essentially.
Yeah.
And... We feel the same way on Judge.
I cannot wait to watch him be such a bust.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge will be a bust.
His footwork is horrible.
This kid, though, that we got in the Miller trade, Frazier.
Oh, yeah, he's the real deal.
He is.
He's the real deal.
I didn't see the trade at all.
He looks like I think he has orange hair, but, you know, me and the colorblindness. He looks like a carrot top Jacob DeGrom.
Is he a starter?
He's an outfielder.
Yeah.
I don't know any.
Stud.
What's his name?
Clint
Frazier.
Clint Frazier.
From the Indians.
Prospect.
From the Indians.
From the Indians, yeah.
Okay.
And that's actually what I was like zoning out on with Bartolo Colon, and I wasn't paying attention, I was watching.
Bartolo Colon.
Masahiro Tanaka this year is 7-3 with a ERA of 3.16.
What a crumb.
The year before he went 12-7, the year before he went 13-5. ERA never over 3.5.
I don't get why you don't think this guy's any good. You just don't like him.
Plays for the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
How many home runs do you give up this year, Steve?
Probably about 15.
Yeah, that's
12.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of home runs.
It's a lot of home runs. But his ERA is 3.16.
All right, how many hits you give up, Steve?
He's given up 122 so far.
That's a lot of hits.
And the year's not over. Last year was 126. And then the year before that was 123.
So he's giving up more and more hits.
So he's becoming more hittable as he gets older.
But people are not scoring on him.
Okay, so what the Yankees need to do, which is what I've said, they needed to trade Miller.
Yep.
I knew that was going to happen.
But again, this was worth it.
But now... Thank you, Hal and Brian, or whoever the fuck runs that shit show, because Betances is going to be their closer now.
Sure.
And I have Dylan Betances on my fantasy squad, so that means a lot more saves. But you got to get rid of Beltran. You got to move Beltran.
But how?
To the Giants. But the Giants. The Giants need hitting. They stink right now.
I've said it already that I'm totally okay with
the Giants are the worst team out of the All-Star break in baseball.
I just think he's owed still too much money for anyone to really pick up.
I don't. Well, the team needs one piece. He'll take him.
Yeah.
You know, if they're one piece away, they'll take that risk.
I think the Giants would do an Angel Pagan and a prospect or two for Beltran.
Pagan? I don't...
Who's a bum.
Yeah, he's a bum.
Like he's a bum.
He's a bum. I don't think this, again, this is not the Yankees selling and giving up on the year.
Yes, it is.
I don't think so.
Well, you can't win without a bullpen.
Well, you can.
But you're not going to. Not with those guys. That's a horrible
But you also
bullpen.
Can't have three, like... A players in the same position, you know.
But,
like
but they weren't. They weren't. You had Betances 7, Miller 8, and Chapman 9.
I mean,
that's a big three as a bullpen.
But that's how they put it together.
Right.
They could all be closers in their own right.
But the Braves had that at the end in the late 90s with Wetland, Smoltz, and Mulholland. They had that, and it worked.
Yeah, but you also need a team to hit behind you. And you also need a starting pitcher
that will go seven innings. Wait a minute. The Yankees can score runs. That's not their problem. The Yankees give up too many runs.
Sure.
They can score 5 runs a game, but when you give up 8, that's a problem.
So what you're saying is
the Yankees
the trades that they made
if the Yankees had
are not helping them
no,
this year?
No.
I don't think that's the
point. If the Yankees had 3 frontline starters, they'd be winning the division.
Yeah. They could flip a couple of these prospects for a starter.
It's going to be Sale.
Let me give you the numbers on this kid, Frazier. Here's the numbers on this kid, Frazier, they got today.
He's beautiful.
It's dirty. He is hitting 275.
Mm.
He's got 25 doubles,
mm.
a triple, mm. 13 home runs, 48 RBIs.
Is he fast or no?
Stolen bases. 13 steals.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's a top level prospect. Yeah.
That's the same draft I was looking up as Chris Bryant.
Okay.
Yeah, so
but now
we picked up Dominic Smith, but we had a later pick.
So is that 2012?
No, 2013.
He's 21.
Number five overall draft pick in 2013.
Okay. So if you look at what the Indians just did, the Indians are in win now mode.
For sure.
They're going to – I think
– They already have a very good closer in Cody Allen.
But they wanted that setup.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. Yeah, for sure. It was a great trade.
And I think the Indians will win that division. I think what has to happen in certain aspects of the division, that the White Sox need to sell, you know?
Yep.
But I digress. We have 23 minutes remaining. We have to talk about the New York Jets.
Hero comes home.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Look, Steve pulled out his phone.
Yeah.
It's
ready.
It's like a gun. Out his phone.
Hey, you got Steve on stats.
All right. So
yes, I know. Sorry, Linda.
Let me just set it up. So for those of you that don't know, Fitzpatrick signed back to the Jets. It's a 2-year deal with an opt out after the first year for either side. It looks like. And 12 million.
Not technically.
No.
What they did was it's a 1-year, $12 million. So nobody has to opt out anything. It's a 1-year deal. But the problem is we don't have the
cash. It's $10 million guaranteed, $2 million base.
So he got basically a $10 million signing bonus. He has that now. So, you know, he doesn't have to rent out his place in New Jersey anymore. But the thing is, in order to save cap space, they deferred. So there's some dead money next year. $5 million.
Oh, I thought it was seven. $7 million this year or $5 million?
It's $2 million in base, and then the $10 million there, but the $5 million gets deferred over there. But he still gets all his money this year. So whether you like it or not, even if he does well, he sucks. We still have Ryan Fitzpatrick money next year, no matter what.
Okay.
Even if he's not here.
All right.
So Joe, you're thrilled.
I'm not thrilled.
I was going to say, because the way you were acting on social media this week, you're like, you put up a picture of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm not thrilled. Ryan Fitzpatrick lead this team.
I was like, this guy is a psychopath.
What I'm saying to you, he's
about to be called on the carpet.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying to you.
He's hedging like Ryan.
What I'm saying to you is what we said last week. Is if Geno Smith's the guy, you got to go down with Geno Smith. And was I excited to go down with Geno Smith? No.
That's fine.
Would I rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick? Yes. I'm not going to lie to you, but am I abundantly overjoyed? No, because I saw what he did in Buffalo last year. Okay, he cost you the season on that, essentially, if you want to go that way. But we can do what I said.
If you want to go that way.
The defense gave up 35 points 4 games that year.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean, you can't win. It doesn't matter who you are. Even Eli Manning, who scored 47 points, can't beat 50.
That's true.
Right. But here's the deal. he has a propensity to fuck up.
I know.
Constantly.
I understand.
Let's
that.
Go back to 2011. He's 4-2, right, on the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
He gets a contract extension, 6 years for $60 million.
Yeah.
He loses 7 games in a row.
Right.
Gets him out of the playoffs, 6-10.
Okay.
Then the next year, he goes 6-10. Mm. Both head coaches, Chan Gailey, coincidentally enough. And he threw a career high and season high for the NFL of 23 interceptions.
Okay.
And then he gets cut, and then he goes on to this journey that he's been on, and now he is here. Okay? So let's look at 2015.
Let's do it.
His very good. Before I start, remember when you always said, like, Mark Sanchez, he threw for 3,000 yards?
Yeah.
If you don't throw for 4,000 yards, you are an absolute disgrace.
Okay.
Today's NFL.
Okay.
So Montana would have thrown 5,000,
right?
Like, just to put it in perspective.
Beautiful.
Fitzpatrick was 15th in yards for 3,900.
He's a disgrace by 100 yards.
Yeah, well, 15th
out of 30. That's a weak stat.
15th out of, like, you know, 29 or whatever.
Philip Rivers didn't throw for 4,000 yards last year.
I believe he did.
I don't think he did.
Yes, he did. Okay, so here's a good stat. He was top 10 in TDs. 31, tied with Aaron Rodgers. But everybody that beat him. But everybody that beat him are all the elite quarterbacks. And then he was the Mason Dixon.
So then what's your point?
Okay, I'm not done. He was also top 5 in interceptions.
So you're saying he's hanging with elite quarterbacks? That's nice.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's not?
No.
He's in the top 10?
No, because Aaron Rodgers threw 8.
You're yelling. You're screaming in my ear. We're on the radio.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's the radio.
Everybody's used to you yelling. I figure
I'm back
as well
here.
Mitigate
I'm back
it.
Here.
But anyway, so 5th in interceptions. He was tied with Winston with 15.
Okay.
So yeah, he tied with Aaron Rodgers on that stat, but not necessarily whatever. So anyway, so he was 24th in QB rating out of all the necessary quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. There were ones that, like, threw one pass and had 100% completion rating. So he had an 88, and a person right next to him, Geno Smith, with an 88 on that one game that he played. Mm. So pretty much the same. 59% completion rate, with the league average, I believe, was like 65 last year. So he ranked 20. The only person he beat was Bortles and Winston in completion percentage last year. So out of all of them, that's it. He's 27th in interception percentage, worst in terms of interceptable passes last year. Mm-kay. So he should have had way more, is what they were saying. And then, obviously, the last game.
Yeah,
you lose. Mm. He threw, I think, 130 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One touchdown, 3 interceptions.
Yep, and the interception to lose the game.
Yep.
So
we just waited for Ryan Fitzpatrick to show up.
Yes, and then now you sign him to be the starter.
Yeah.
So you went through this whole process, 3 months. Geno he's working hard. He doesn't know if something's going to get done, and then you just sign him, and then he starts the next day at training camp.
Okay. Well, now that you've heard the RNC's version of football.
Oh, you mean facts?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Nobody needs
football.
Your facts. Yeah.
Hey, Linda,
people.
Pull me up Geno Smith's stats, his career stats, would you?
Mm-hmm.
If Geno Smith threw over 15 touchdowns ever, once in his career, I will let Geno Smith be my starting quarterback. In his professional career.
So
nobody
Ryan Fitzpatrick gets 13 years.
I let you talk.
Go on.
So here's what it
is. Donald.
How many did you say?
15.
In 2013, he threw 12. In 14, he threw 13.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And how many interceptions in those 2 years, Linda?
For 2013, 21.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, it was 13.
Oh, that's nice.
And then one in the one game.
The one game he played, he had the one. Okay.
Linda, look this up. In any of those years, did he have a starting wide receiver on his team that's in the league right now? That's in the league right now, and that's a good point.
All right, what about Ryan Fitzpatrick's last years in Buffalo? Who was their number one wide receiver?
You
go.
All right.
Okay.
And what'd you name?
Greg Salas.
Greg Salas.
What do you want
number
from
one?
Me? What do you want from me? The Jets didn't put anybody there. What am I supposed to? I don't run the team.
No, the most impressive stat actually is that he has never made the playoffs in 14 years, which is astonishing.
Geno Smith never made the playoffs in four. Four.
He played 2 years, man.
Okay. Great.
How about this? He didn't make the playoffs this year.
Before we signed Ryan Fitzpatrick back, gave this great vote of confidence to Geno Smith.
Yeah.
He could be a good quarterback.
Uh-huh. And then what has he said about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Who cares? He's just starting quarterback. He's just starting quarterback.
He also said that Geno
Smith will never be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
All right.
He is not good enough.
All right.
He came from a shitty college team that played William and Mary.
Why not?
The guy can't play in the cold.
Okay.
It's been proven.
I want to be clear that Todd Bowles, that was not a vote of confidence.
Yeah.
There are people that don't realize
that. Todd Bowles, but nobody believes in this person except for you, the man who bought his jersey for $110. I could buy it for $3 down the street at the Mexican thrift store.
Geno had a moment here to actually try to prove himself, to be like,
get punched in the face, bro.
You don't need Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he didn't take it.
You're a dick. You're a kid. You get punched in the face.
No. He was anointed this year as the starter before even the last season was over.
They said Geno Smith was the only person who didn't have a date to the prom.
Yeah.
All right. So,
and then he got punched in the face by his prom date.
So here's where we are moving forward. Okay.
You got Matt Forte, you got Brandon Marshall,
you got
Eric Decker.
Matt Forte has not been in training camp yet because his hamstring is already going. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
All right, here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
You're right, he doesn't get hurt. Right.
Oh,
so
my
anyway,
God.
So where we are now is, all right, let's say he doesn't make the playoffs again. Right, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's going to retire.
Oh, he's going to retire?
Yeah.
And then where does that leave us in the future, man?
We get a quarterback.
To where?
I don't know.
At 16 next year?
I don't know.
What? At 18?
Hey.
Or what if we make the playoffs? And then we fuck up.
Let's clarify
the argument.
What
if we make the playoffs and then we fuck up? We make the playoffs. Yeah, I just want to make the playoffs.
Okay, so very low bar. Very low bar.
You really?
We haven't made the playoffs in four fucking years.
Yeah, and guess what? Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't made it in 15, 14, whatever the hell he's been here. But anyway,
we have a team with a coach right now.
Great. That let us,
So Bill Belichick,
we were 10-6 last year. We were supposed to be 4-12.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
No, but here's the thing. I'm saying the future.
No future. You're number one wide receiver is 33 years old. There's no future for that.
You need a quarterback.
To win now.
You need a quarterback to
We're getting kicked off. If Fitzpatrick shits the bed, the argument is you are back where you started right now. Because you don't know what you have in Geno Smith.
Without a long-term contract, though.
Okay, look at the Broncos. They won the Super Bowl. They don't have a quarterback.
No quarterback.
So what? But they have an elite defense.
And we don't? We don't have a top-five defense?
But here's the thing. Geno Smith walks after this year, and then
I hope he runs!
Whatever. Here's the thing. We are... Because Ryan Fitzpatrick has never been a horrible quarterback. He's always been a mediocre quarterback.
Sure.
So if he is mediocre...
And Geno Smith's always been a horrible quarterback.
But if he's as bad as you're saying, trot him out, let him walk, and get a first-round quarterback next year.
So you want to lose.
I want a future. That's what I want. For Ryan Fitzpatrick is a stopgap that's not stopping anything. Okay? He didn't stop it last year. Every single game that he lost, every single game he lost last year was to a top 10 team.
Okay.
We don't face the first six games, seven games, we're facing top 10 teams.
That's great. All right.
We're going to start 0-6.
Derek Rose. Derek Rose is raping people.
Hold on. 0-6.
Yes, my father.
All right.
Go ahead.
Steve, you know that, right? And I want to thank you for.
He loves you.
I want to thank you for, because Geno Smith needs all the friends he can get, you know, because he'll be working in a car wash probably after this year. But it's not the point. It's not the point. I totally understand, you know, your obsession with Geno Smith. I do, because there really isn't much to grasp at with this team. You're sort of stuck between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton situation, you know? So I understand what you're saying. I do. But let me just tell you Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one fact. I'm gonna present this fact to you.
Sure.
And you explain to me how a guy can be set up in a shotgun, right? Mm-hmm. Set up in a shotgun. So you're only 10 yards, you're at about 5 to 7 yards behind the quarterback, right?
That's a very specific
stat. Then you drop back 15. Then you drop back another 15 on average, and you're fucking blasted every time. And if he's not doing that, he's throwing the ball without looking. So the game's over within the first 3 minutes when you're down 14-0.
What?
How can you defend a guy like that? Tell me, when a guy drops back, has no footwork whatsoever, has no wherewithal about how to be a quarterback, and drops back and gets blasted every time.
He drops back every single time at 20 yards, Ronnie? I find that hard to believe.
Steve, look, you want to separate apples.
Hey, Dad,
He never drops back.
Dad,
he never goes back.
Dad.
All quarterbacks drop back, Ronnie.
Dad. We have 10 minutes. Okay. You gotta go.
Okay.
So let's get off
great
that
stat.
Let's get off that. Well, he's right. Geno Smith has the horrible footwork, but that's beyond the point.
Right. I mean, which you have not seen in 2 years.
I saw it at training camp last year. Same thing.
No, he was the best quarterback last year, and you know it.
The Jets put themselves in this position when they fucking drafted him.
He's awful.
Did you ever really believe that they were going to go with him as their number one quarterback?
I can't take this conversation seriously from the two people that defended Mark Sanchez, who's now nowhere.
He's talking about somebody washing cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, there's a chance he could. There's a chance he could be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, and he's also in competition with some other guy that I don't know that they drafted in the sixth round last year or something.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah. So.
And Pat
Lewis, great.
No?
But he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yep. Yeah, by injury.
Okay. He's still a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Would you take Mark Sanchez? Let's say Fitzpatrick didn't re-sign.
Yeah.
It's Geno Smith.
And Mark Sanchez?
Would you take Mark Sanchez?
Absolutely.
As your starting quarterback?
Absolutely.
Over Geno.
No, shut up. You don't know what the fuck I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mark Sanchez. The guy who bought him a Philadelphia Sanchez jersey.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I thought you said you did.
I didn't.
Well.
Anywho.
There it goes.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't take Mark Sanchez now. Are you talking about Mark Sanchez 6 years ago?
Mark Sanchez right now.
No. No, you can't. How can you?
Just kidding.
It's impossible. Personally, if I'm Todd Bowles and I don't have a shot at Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm starting Christian Hackenberg. That's what
no,
I would do.
Let's go to a topic that's going to unite everyone. And
Derrick Rose is a raper?
Is a raper.
We all agree on this. Derrick Rose is a great guy.
Yeah. But I mean, why does this have to happen in October? Why is this trial? Why is this trial like the day of the season?
No, but I mean, it was already there. Phil knew it. Even when
did
the trade
we all
happened,
know this though?
Even when the trade happened, like Ian Begley did say that there was like a court date for like whatever. It's not bad enough that it was a rape thing. It was a gang rape thing. Like there was like a bunch of guys together, and just like he's the only one as you
how
know,
many
with
other
the
people?
Two other people, and there may have been drug. Like,
and,
like,
and they said it was all consensual, like, which is weird.
Well, then it's not rape.
No, but that's their defense. Their defense. It was
I mean,
consensual.
Usually rapists defend with hey, you know. Yeah, she wanted it.
No,
that's usually
she
how it
tripped.
Goes. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think the story goes like they drove over to this woman's house and they all like were there and
they
then, like,
were all
took,
at Rose's house.
Yeah, they took turns.
It happened at his
stuff.
House.
That was his house?
According to court records, the woman had been drinking at Rose's Beverly Hills, California home, and a friend helped her return home where she vomited and fell asleep. And then the next morning, Rose with two defendants entered her apartment and raped her.
That's,
oh my god.
Never good to do it the next morning, fellas.
Oh my god.
Look, we're making light of this. I mean, let's just be clear. Rape is a terrible
crime. Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, whether you're a basketball player, football player, golfer, a sanitation worker, it's
don't
not
rape
good.
Anybody.
And if he's guilty, then he needs to
go away.
So.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
The defense court's filing contend that the woman consented to the act. Invited them into her apartment and buzzed them in through security.
Well, I guess they'll have that on record.
Yeah, I guess right? So. I guess that's true.
So who knows? It's, you know.
Why?
It's.
I mean, they're going into like sorted details.
But
too.
Isn't this amazing? Why? Like athletes in rape. It's like
you want to talk about the team that sets himself up to fail. Here's the Knicks.
But it's like you guys have all this fucking money.
Yeah,
just hire a hooker.
Don't go out.
There's plenty of girls who would willingly have
sex with NBA players.
But here's the difference. Those people that are willing, those women that are willing, can all of a sudden change on a dime and be like,
that's why you have your PR person and be like,
that's why I'm saying it happens.
Well, that's what look at Ezekiel Elliott, man. Right. They handled that situation great.
You don't hear anything.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah. They handled it great.
Yeah, because you remember you were like, oh, they're handling it horribly. I was like, no, because the PR people were like, nope.
Yeah,
we have text messages on hand to prove that.
Well.
like within 5 minutes. Like they were on top of it. Well, they knew it was probably gonna break. That's probably why.
That's what you gotta hire someone.
But we don't know what the future of Derrick Rose will be. We're hoping for a good outcome. We're hoping for justice. If it is in fact that he did rape this girl, I mean, he's gotta go to jail for many, many years. I mean, you know.
Chapman blew one.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes. Joe Maddon's an idiot. Well, this guy has him come in the eighth inning every time now.
Yeah.
He's not a six out pitcher.
No, because Joe Maddon, I mean,
he's got this weird philosophy. Yeah, I don't want the guy to get a hit. Throw 100 mile an hour, not gonna get a hit. Yeah. I know it sounds a little bit like Dusty Baker, but
you see Dusty Baker, Dusty Rhodes.
I thought that was your John Wayne.
Your John Wayne.
Hey there, Pilgrim.
There you go.
What else we got here?
So for the 2 minutes, I'd like to talk about what happened yesterday. Manchester United versus Galatasaray, who are the best team in Turkey. She's downplaying this. Like Turkish football is actually good football. Relax. They're always in the Champions League.
This also comes from the man that says the Liga is stupid and there's no talent and okay. It's not soccer.
Anywho.
Blah, 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 blah.
Go away. Anywho, what I'm saying is they scored 5 goals yesterday.
Yep.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, third minute into his fucking Manchester United career, a nice little overhead kick. I mean, it wasn't the most spectacular goal in the world, but you go back. I went back and looked at it. It was pretty great.
Okay.
Rooney, 2. Yeah. Fellaini and Mata opened their accounts last night, too. 5-2. I mean, when's the last time United scored 5 goals? And I was looking on a Manchester United newsletter, an online newsletter, saying that Eric Bialy said, the only reason I'm here is because Jose Mourinho is your head coach. And Zlatan said, he and I see eye to eye. He goes, I'm a wild goose out there, and he lets me play.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, we're going to win the fucking Premier League now. That's it. We opened it 3-1. We're the favorites to win the Premier League. Leicester City is, again, well, they were 5,000-1 last year. This year, they're 6,000-1.
Man City?
No, Leicester City.
Oh, Leicester City.
Manchester United's 3-1.
Well, didn't they get their players taken from them? Didn't they sell them?
No.
Riyad Mahrez stood. Mahrez did not go to Arsenal because nobody wants to play for Arsenal.
Vardy's still there.
The only player that left is Andrea Kramaric and Conte. N'Golo Conte went to Chelsea. Also, about Arsenal, they've tapped their next manager when Arsene Wenger decides to retire. It's going to be Eddie Howe, the manager of Bournemouth. Very young guy, about 35 years old. Very good manager. He brought Bournemouth from League 2 all the way up to the Premier League.
Pretty good.
So that's pretty fantastic on his end. We got about 2 minutes left, so we're going to do, if I were a betting man, one of you boys.
I think the hole gets bigger for the Mets. Like, I feel like by next week it's going to be 8 games out.
Mets don't make a trade. They stand pat with what they have.
And they hope. I think the Mets do make a trade. I don't think it's the trade we're all expecting. I think it's a starting pitcher. And I think it's a small-time bat. Somebody like a Ryan Rayburn.
Like a Kelly Johnson, not to
be funny. No, but a guy that's a starter.
Okay.
A guy that can start. Like a Mark Reynolds.
Ugh.
I hit another home run yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yucky.
Or I know it's. I've been saying this name over and over and over again. Get me Jonathan Scope, man. Do something.
Get me Carlos Gonzalez.
I just can't. I can't take the money. The money is just so. It's 28 million next year.
It's not coming
year.
Out of your pocket.
Yeah, but it's coming out of a team's pocket that the.
Won't spend
I hate to agree with Noah. That fuck.
Yeah.
The window is closing dramatically fast
Agreed.
On this team,
Agreed.
And it's getting to a point where. I don't know if the future. We got no time.
Yeah.
We got no time.
Sorry, Ron.
We got no time.
Hello.
We got no time.
Oh, it's Noah. I got no time for you, Noah.
Noah, we love you.
We love you. You're right.
Great
just 30 seconds.
No, this isn't Noah. This is Pete.
Who?
Who?
Pete. And Derrick Rose is not a rapist. Let me say this. Derrick Rose is an MVP, and he deserves to be treated like one.
All right, Pete. Thank you. Thank you.
Call in next week when we have time.
I don't know who you are, Pete, but thank you so much. This has been Point of Order. I'm Joe Sonnenblick.
Jason Rodden.
Oh, yeah, you know me.
All right, enjoy.